It'll be on page 99 on the bottom left. You want to look at it?
99?
Yes. Pull the follow through so you can look at it. You want to just listen to it?
I'm just listening. All right.
Follow
through.
There you go.
Hello.
Josh.
Hey, Josh, how are you? Okay, page 99 on the bottom left. The Midrash. Yodea Hashem Yimeitamimim. It says that God knows all the Joshua. God knows the days of the righteous. Kishem Shehem Tamimim Kashin Oseyim Tamimim. Just as they, the righteous and the pure, are pure, so also their years are pure. There's a comparison between them and the time that they spent here. They are pure, and the time they spent here, their years are pure. The word tamim has a number of meanings. It can mean pure, it can mean whole, complete. It has a different context sometimes. Dein kli machzik bracha ela shalom. This is a statement from the Gemara that the vessel, the primary vessel which can hold on to shalom, to peace, primary vessel that can hold on to blessing is shalom. There's nothing that can grasp and hold a blessing like shalom. If shalom is there, then blessing can be held. And therefore it is written that God blessed Abraham with everything. In other words, that he contained shalom. And here now, this is a little closer to the word tamim. The word tamim in its meaning as complete and whole. Abraham was like that. It was complete and holy. It was tamim, related to shalom in that way. And he was able then to be blessed by Hashem with all things, because he could hold on to the blessing. It was so complete and so whole that he could hold on to God's bracha. V'isa b'midrash Abraham beirach es hakol umi bracha akadosh bracha. Now there's an extension of this concept. The Midrash writes, Abraham blessed everything. He blessed all things. And who blessed him? God. Lefi shehoya kol el hakol, because he contained all things in himself, Avraham, lachin chal alav birchas Hashem, therefore God's blessing fell upon him. So there was a certain process that Hashem's bracha came to Avraham and Avraham's brachas came onto the world in that respect. And he contained so much that he was capable of being the distributor of the brachas. V'hina yesh b'chinas olam shana nefesh shehu kala ma'ase bereshis. This is a very important concept in Hasidus and in Machshava, that for whatever is present in the world, there is something present in time and there is something present in the human being. There's a three-way parallel there. Olam is a world, shana is time, that means a year, nefesh is the soul of a human being. Whatever is present in one is present in the other, and so it was when the world was created. The Isa, or ma sebereshis haya meyer misofa olam v'ad sofa, the gunzo hakadosh baruch hu. It says that the light of creation was so great that it shone from one end of the world to the other, and God hid that light away. He concealed it. As Rashi says in the beginning of the Torah, that God hid that light away for the tzaddikim in the future. It's a very precious light. V'lachein olam shana nefesh heim kelim lehiskalos meor haganus al yedei tzimtzum olam shana nefesh. These three, let's say, realms, the world, time, and the human being, each one is a vehicle or a receptacle in the distribution or the revelation of God's hidden light. As this light is hidden away, but small amounts of it get filtered into reality through these three areas, the world, time, and the human being. That light somehow gets contained within them and filtered to the world. Neil, question?
So is he trying to say that that part of this light that Hashem put away came to Abraham?
He didn't say that yet, but... But I would certainly make that conclusion. It could be that he was hinting to that, and that Abraham contained all the brachas, and therefore he was able to disseminate them.
If we say that it's saved for the tzaddikim, of course he was a tzaddik.
Correct. And that may be something that he's hinting to here.
I got a dollar in there.
Wow, you got a brush or two.
I'll give you money.
You're going to give me money?
Yeah.
Great.
And put it in.
See if you can influence others.
He says he's going to put it in Sadaka. That would be a real brush.
Oh.
For Sadaka, we'll do Sadaka soon. Yeah.
Okay. It's world.
Time. And the human being. Now, the world there means a physical object or a place. And time means a day, you know, or a given day. And the human being, of course, is us.
So,
just a second, I think the table's finished. Right?
No,
that was it.
Yeah.
Josh?
If it's time, he nearly always uses something about Shabbos. So, you know.
Yeah, it's often Shabbos in China. But now, here, now he takes it a little broader, though. Uvechol yom yesh ha'orah miyuchedes. Every successive day, each successive day, there is a specific light, mislabeshes bezeh hazman, which is enclosed, presented in this time, on this day. Vechein lechol nefesh miyuchad. Likewise, every particular human being, each soul has part of that light which is revealed through it, and each place has part of that light revealed through it. This is really a different, this is different than something you see more commonly where, as Josh was saying, Shabbos, Yerushalayim, the Neshama, there's a certain parallel there. He's talking about a very broad concept of Olam Shona Nefesh here, that there's a certain totality of all things present in the world, in time, and in the human being. And each one of those things presents into reality a little bit of this light that was hidden away. So amongst all of it, there is therefore the whole thing. Well, I couldn't say the whole thing. But that Or HaGadol is presented fully into the world through all of these things. Just one second, I wanted to finish this concept. Just one second. V'yesh zaman ha'kolo kol hazman, and now he says it, Josh. But there is a time which contains all other time. V'hu Shabbos, which is Shabbos, Shalom. Shabbos Shalom, he says, a day of Shalom, and therefore it's able to hold on to blessing. V'chol ha'yamtif, and each yamtif, she'yesh behem bracha mi'or ha'ganus, that has its own special, larger bracha, as opposed to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, which each day has a little bit of the light that's filtered into the world. The Shabbos and Yom Tov have a certain extra measure of this light. U'kamochein benefesh, likewise a human being. Each human being has revealed through them a certain light into the world. It's unique to them and their soul. But there are others who contain a large amount of that light. Hatzadik nikra kol v'shalom. That would be a tzadik, an extremely righteous person, who is called kol. The word kol means all. That means he contains a lot. And shalom. Ubamakom, and in space, in the world, beis hamikdash, the holy temple, kisham tziva Hashem es habracha, because there, God commanded, meaning to say, he focused the bracha there. So now he's looking at it specifically, each time, each place, each person has a little bit of this light that's revealed through them. And in a larger sense, Shabbos, Yom Tov, in time, the Beis HaMikdash in space, at Tzadik in human beings, a great deal of this light can be revealed through those, let's say, special components of Olam Shana or Nefesh. Bruce, I finished that concept. Did you want to ask a question there?
It seems like when he was going down from the original concept of just time, the place and Nefesh being, you know, that he's going down the people, it seems that is he trying to say that each level, and I'm getting down to our level here, then has the ability to give over?
Light? That's exactly what he's saying.
That's what he's saying. It's kind of like filtering down, and we also give it over.
Mm-hmm. No, as he said, with Abraham, he was so complete that, you know, tremendous amounts of bracha were coming into the world through him. He held on to so much of it himself, as a tzaddik, as shalom, that he could deliver you know, as in a way which is called tummy, whole.
Like almost like Moshe Rabbeinu could receive Torah and deliver.
That's right. Whereas another human being has, let's say, a more specific revelation of that light which comes through them, which is crucial, because each person, you know, can give the light which comes through their soul. And another person can't do that. Only they can do that. That's crucial. And the more complete and whole we become in ourselves, we're more able to receive God's blessing. And what he's saying here is that we're more able to then deliver and distribute God's blessing too.
Is he saying we're more able to receive God's blessing from a higher source? Like
yes.
Avram received from Hashem?
Yeah, from this Or HaGadlus,
right.
This light that's hidden away, that mysterious concept.
Which is both hidden away, but also hidden within.
Yes. It's hidden within because the higher levels of our soul, in a certain respect, are also in a hidden place, and they have contact with that light.
And the vessels of that light
Do we discover the light, or does the light discover us?
Well, that's an interesting question. That's a very interesting question. I would imagine it's both. You know, we have to work our way toward it. And when we do, it probably reveals itself to us. It's probably both.
Well, it seems like it's we have to work our way there, but it's there. It's, you know, just because it's like it's always there. But you don't have to, you have to work up the level of being able to see it. So I don't think that it reveals itself to us so much as...
Well, once a person gets to a very high madrega like Avram, then there is a revelation of that Or.
But it's not something that the Or does. It's something the person does.
Person has to take the efforts to get there.
Yeah.
When they do, then God extends that Or to them. Yeah, it's not functioning on its own. It's the light that he's referring to is, of course, coming from God. Ted?
Is how the light is manifested through the individual based on the individual's personality and uniqueness?
Exactly.
And purpose.
So
that's
it's
right.
before it goes through the person, it's the same for everybody. But after it comes through the person's personality, it's manifested in
that's right. That's exactly right. It's more of a what would you say? It's an undivided essence, and it manifests in different ways through the uniqueness of each human being.
It's refracted
through each person.
And what are Hebrew names be like an indication of how that would...
It could be, because the Hebrew name really is the... Our Hebrew name is the identity of our neshama. Our Hebrew name is the definition of our soul. That may be related.
Rabbi?
Yes, Lisa?
What do you do with someone who's never given a Hebrew name? I mean, how are they named?
Well, their English name would be their name. And every language certainly has an association with Lashon HaKodesh. As a matter of fact, you know, when it comes to a shtar, you know, a legal document in Halacha, let's say the one that has the strictest laws, which is a get, which has to be very precise as far as names, one's Hebrew name and one's English name is written down, or whatever they are, French or Russian. You write down both names. And if there's no Hebrew name to use, their foreign name, whatever language it happens to be, that is their name. And also for Mishabereth, if a person doesn't have a Hebrew name, you know, we give the English name. So there's something there. And what that means in terms that they have an English name or a Russian name instead of a Hebrew, I don't know what it means, but that's what they're called in this world, and that has to have some significance.
So that's how we get Yiddish names into Hebrew names. Usually there wasn't somebody named
Falk.
Yeah, sure. And they were, you know, Yiddish became so close to the Jewish people, part of the Jewish people, that those names, I think, took on a certain special quality in and of themselves.
Yiddish names, it's still sort of an idea of a non-Lashon HaKodesh.
It's not Lashon HaKodesh, definitely not. But it has some unique qualities to it. Just by virtue of the fact that has been spoken for hundreds and hundreds of years, and the Torah, people and culture have become so much a part of the language that it takes on its certain qualities. I mean, so much so that in certain, you know, Hasidic circles, they don't allow people to speak English. You know, they have to speak Yiddish. And they're very, very adamant about that.
On the light, was Abraham the most complete and the first person to really receive this light?
Well, Adam and Chava had something there in Gan Eden, of this light. And although Hashem hid it away beforehand, but they seemingly had some degree of special light before the Chet, which was then reduced after the Chet. The original Or HaGanuz, though, was hidden even before that, you know, even before Adam and Chava were around. Svarim say it was around for 36 hours at the beginning of Bereshis. And that's the concept of the Hanukkah candles. The Adam Aleph, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, it comes out to 36. And the Or HaGanuz is contained also in the menorah as well. So
those
certainly,
36 hours include Shabbos?
No, I don't believe so. They were before that.
Before,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have a degree of that from Adam and Chava, but similarly not the whole thing. Was Avram the first person to get this much of it? Probably so, in terms of who he became historically. Okay. The Yesh Nefashos, oh, I'm sorry, I think I skipped a line. V'hina Yesh Nefashos Shetzrichim Siyua Min Hazman V'Hamakam. There are certain souls, certain human beings, who need assistance in their task from the place and from the time. They need the assistance of time and space. The Yesh Nefashos Shehei Me'irim Od LaHazman V'Hamakom, where there are other souls who are so great that they assist time and space. Right? So some people need to be in the environment in order to properly progress. You know, a holy place, holy people, a nice shul. Now, other people give the bracha to the place and to the time.
This is a brand new perspective on attention deficit.
That makes the space special.
Special, right. They give it to the place and to the time. It's a beautiful concept.
Like the story of when the Baal HaTanya was stuck on Shabbos, when they were taking out the Russians at arrest of them or something like that. And apparently where the wagon stopped that he was in, he said, "This is Shabbos, I'm not going anywhere." And he couldn't move the wagon. And the story is that that spot, even though the rest of the edge of the road there is rather brown or whatever, mm-hmm. that was still green.
Mm-hmm. As it is said about David HaMelech, I awaken the dawn, and the dawn does not awaken me. So there, you know, we usually look at that Chazal as how inspired David HaMelech was in his Avodas Hashem, that he never slept, barely at all anyway, and whenever the dawn would come, he was already awake, and he would wake up the day wouldn't wake up him. He takes it within this concept as that he gave bracha to the day. Other people require the day to come, and it's, you know, it's positive things to occur, whereas he gave the blessing to the day.
Well, we have this idea in davening too. I mean, the idea of Kedusha being, in a sense, creating the day. Right?
Yes.
You know,
the tefillah does create the day.
The below and with the angels above and
right.
all that. And
that's right.
The day can't exist unless there's a person that says the day exists. So in order for that even to come into being, there has to be at least one person.
We're much more likely to say, I'd like to take the day off. All day off. It's not happening.
That has to come from us too. So, Kishem Shehem Tamim and Vyeshbohem Bechinus Hashlemus, Kain Metaknim Shinoseyam Umakomoseyam. Just as these great people, Tzadikim, are whole and complete, and they have a shlemus. So they are misakein, they fix, they remedy, they rectify all the years of their life, which is time, the time that they're given to spend here. They influence that time, and the place that they live in, they influence that place. Ukidiso, as it says, Kishahat Sadik Ba'ir, when a righteous person is in a city, Hu Hoda Ziva, he is the splendor and the glory of that city, or she.
So that's why we could say when Sarah died that all the, you know, about the candles that didn't burn.
Those different brachas that were removed.
All these brachas left.
Right.
Because she brought those brachas.
Right. And it wasn't until Rivka came around to Yitzchak that they were restored.
So when you said he or she,
yeah,
were you responding to the Tzleshen Nekeva here?
No, I wasn't. No. I just didn't want us to think that I was specifically tied
but
to me.
But yeah, it is an interesting question on this.
Well, this isn't Nekeva. This is Hod Shalah.
Uh-huh.
The ear is used as Nekeva.
I see.
Hoda Ziva. The Hod of Shalah, the Ziv Shalah.
Okay.
V'lechein amar b'midrash she'ester malka al kufcha zayin medinos k'shem shechoyis esora kufcha zayin shanim. Right, a famous midrash. Esther, the queen, she reigned over 127 countries because she was Ahasuerus's wife. And she was zocha to this because Sora Imenu, our matriarch Sarah, lived for 127 years. Shehakol tikun echad el hazman ve'el hamakam. That Sora, she was misakein time. She rectified time. Her 127 years were fully complete and whole.
Mm-hmm.
And that same concept of 127, I'm not sure what the significance of that is, Esther gave it to space. She gave it to the world. So Sora sanctified the time, and Esther sanctified place, world.
No.
Each in a complete way.
Now, we have that same idea with the Avos in a certain way. And do we have a corresponding, like, matriarch of Nefesh?
I don't know.
You know, any kind of an analog to in the realm of Nefesh?
Well, my thinking is that they were that at the same time. They were Nefesh, and their Nefesh was Mashpia, Tizman, and Makom.
Mm-hmm.
They were the human being.
Was that all the countries in the world, 27
or that
is?
I don't think so. It was a big part of
that
it.
That particular
yeah, it was very a huge, huge dominion, but I don't think it was the whole thing.
Sarah's name means princess, doesn't it?
Sarah means, yes, it's a lesson of Sarara, which is to rule, to govern.
So there's
yeah,
a connection, I guess, between Sarah
and Esther.
And Esther,
very good, who is also a ruler. With over space. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Well, how long, I'm trying to remember, I'm reaching for a connection here. How long was Adam Arishan Purish from Kaaba?
130 years.
130.
Right.
Off by three.
Figure something out there.
Finish here.
Yeah.
Nath was never my good subject.
That's how old Rivka was.
There you go.
You put together Rivka, sorry.
Together.
There you go. What are friends for?
The Lefisha Chayeha Tzadikim Hema Lamala Min Hazman Memela Nachlasam Olam Tiyah. Because the actual life of a tzaddik, thoroughly righteous person, really is over and above time. Therefore, their nachla, their portion, is one of eternity. They live in a certain way above time, and their portion is also above time, their eternal portion. The Kain custom, as it says in the Parsha, Shnei Chaye Sora, the years of the life of Sora. Mashma Shagam Ata Nimsoim Ha'oras Hashonim Ha'elu. He says the implication is that even now, as we read about her, that the light, the radiance of her life is still here. It's still present. Because it says, well, actually, let me grab a chumash there, Bruce. Want to hand me a chumash there? It says that her life was vayihiyu chayesora. Vayihiyu chayesora. Her life was 127 years. That should have been enough.
Mm-hmm.
So why does it then say shnei chayesora, the years of the life of Sora? It says one is telling you how long she lived. The other one is telling you that the radiance of her life is still present now. Because it's like saying these are the years of Sora's life. It didn't stop when she died. That's his point here. Because her effect on the world was so great above the realm of time, similar to that hidden light which shines from one end of the world to the other and knows no boundaries, so her influence also knew no boundaries and continues to this day.
So the brachas that she brought into the world is continuing to
still here.
So that's beautiful.
That also means that her grade also possesses the great
Kedusha. And that's the case with any great person, that the mokum where they're buried attains Kedusha. A Jewish cemetery in general attains Kedusha, and even more so when there's a tzaddik or a tzaddik is buried there, that it takes on qualities of Kedusha. That's why there's an Indian to daven at the grave of a tzaddik or a tzaddik. It's not that we're davening to them, chas v'shalom, but that becomes a mokum kodesh.
And what about a grave of your parents and things?
Same thing.
Is that, I mean, that's an interesting question. Are you like allowed to ask for help from your ancestors?
Seemingly yes, because we ask for it all the time from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and we ask them to be omei before Hashem and be nispalo and v'akish rachamim, and Dor Midrashim, and Eliyahu goes out and he says, awaken Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, you know, those who reside in the Machpelah and the Imahos, and we are asking them to daven for us. It seems to be acceptable.
Right, and when the Meraglim went.
Right, and Kolev was Mishpala.
Where he went, right there.
Right, that's right. And we say when somebody passes away, they should be a Melitz Yosher or a good Tibetan in Yiddish that day, they should give over good things to God, you know, from on our behalf.
What was it about the Meraglim?
When Kolev went in with them, that he was Mishtateach on the kever of Avram Avinu at the Moras HaMachpelah, you know, to ask the others. He spread himself out on their grave to ask them for help.
I remember being in the spot on the Arizal Yor side, and lots of people around.
Sure.
And when I walked away from the kever, said some tefillin and some prayers. I realized that I'd been praying for the Arizal. When I was davening, I was praying for the Arizal. Mm-hmm. I thought,
what?
Sorry.
Let's call this one back.
It's a really fine line. You're not very aware of what you're doing.
Right. You can ask for help, but that's different than praying to that person, of course. And of course, that's why some say that Moshe Rabbeinu's kever is not revealed. So we would be too likely to slip into that, somebody that stature.
So some tzaddik that we know about, that's common enough to go to the kever of.
Sure.
And an immediate relative, let's say, that's also somewhat likely. But what about a relative that we are... didn't know in life, but we know, some ancestor like that, that would...
There's always considered to be a certain hashra, a certain presence of kedusha at a Jewish grave. Of course, the greater the person, you know, the greater the hashra. So.
And also, there is an aspect of praying for them, for an aliyah for their neshamas.
Yes, that's
well.
Right. And that's part of that, too, is to be mispala for their neshamas.
Or to the sort of pintaliyid within, you know.
So a cemetery is a lot like a paradise.
How's that?
It's got a element of fiducia, but it also brings to mind.
Right. That's right. There's a minhag upon leaving a cemetery to pull up grass with dirt and to throw it over your shoulder. To throw it down, to cast it down. And some say that is... as a zecher for the Afer of the poor Aduma, because the grass is like the Ezo, Yisip, I think in English, and then the dirt is the Afer And the water, I believe, when you wash, is considered the light.
When you wash, is it three times, it doesn't matter?
3 times back and forth, just like in the morning. Yeah, because when you have to remove tuma, you have to do it 3 times back and forth.
It's an amazing coincidence, because Jay and I did the Gemara and Sukkah, a discussion about the definition of hyssop this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing that it would come up twice.
Let's take one more. We got 5 more minutes. I guess we could do the a similar topic on this on page 100. Left paragraph, left side, second paragraph. Same midrash. Yodea Hashem Yimei Tamimim. God knows the days of the righteous, of the, those who are complete and whole. He says, Ki ha'adam hu lamala mehazman. He draws a similar concept, that a human being really is over and above time. We influence time. V'tahaluchas hazman tolui ba'avodas ha'adam. The pathways of time in history are dependent upon the avoda, the spiritual religious work of a human being. Ukefi zikuch ma'asas, according to the degree that we purify our deeds, kach mizdakei chazman, so time becomes pure. As we become pure, we affect time, and time becomes pure. And we give life and vitality to time and to space. We saw in the previous mimer that can work the other way too. You can draw from your environment. He's addressing the other side of it. As it says in Bereshis, that the human being was a living soul. Pirish hu hakli. That means to say we are the vessel Asher al yado nimshach chiyus l'chol habriya, that through us, life is emanated into creation. The human being is a vessel for life. L'chein yodeya Hashem yimei tamimim. Therefore, God knows the days of the righteous. L'chein yodeya Hashem derech tzadikim. And also, it says God knows the path of the righteous, their time and their path. B'bechinas olam v'shana. That seems to be both of those things. When it states that God knows their days, that's referring to their influence on time. When it said that God knows their pathway, their mahalik, their derech, that's their influence in space. Their days is their time, and their path is their space. V'lochein kesiv shenei chayesora, shehim shicho hachiyus b'shonim elu, and he also remarks on those same words, the days of the life of Sora, which is to say she brought down life to the world through the duration of her life. V'chein kesiv al tomar shehayamim harishonim hayutovim me'ele, kidav hirish rashi sham, shelefis zechus hador mishtana hazman. He says, one should not say, you know, the earlier days were greater, people were greater, you know.
The good
old days. They were just the good old days.
It's awesome to say that those were the good old days.
Right. Why? He says, because it's all dependent on the zechus of your generation. Because if you bring zechus into your generation, then those will be good days too. Because time follows the human being. So we can't say it was the time
that. If there were tzaddikim would be in that time, and not in your time, then...
Right. So then it goes back to the human being. But he wants to say, don't just say it's the period of time. So it's not the, it's the people who lived in the time, not the time itself. And then we could say, okay, you read the Sideros, we're not the same kind of people, not the same kind of time. That's valid. However, to the extent that we do elevate ourselves, we could affect the era that we live in.
So this is the esoteric meaning for the song, Time is on Our Side.
We need to think that we can have an impact in the time in which we live.
Right.
That if we don't think that we can have an impact, then that will also affect the time.
That will create its own impact. Exactly.
So the people that say that it just isn't like it used to be, that times aren't so great and all this, that's because they're only relying on some other tzaddik of the door
to live to making that time sacred.
Yeah. Except we have to take responsibility. We're further removed.
Yeah, Yochinami, that's Yirida Sadara.
We're not talking about it, it wasn't...
There's less great people, there's less holy people, but we can't use it as an exemption.
We're not talking about the times of Shlomo HaMelech or David HaMelech or something. Right. We're saying it wasn't like it was 10 years ago. Like,
the world moves fast. Shem and Yochinami?
No, that's...
Which one?
Interested.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Yashukoach.